Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's so wonderful to have you join us on today for Nothing But the Truth, and we are looking forward to our lesson on tonight as we begin to just kind of delve into the Word of God with reference to this Christmas Advent season. And as I was just preparing and praying and asking God what is it that we needed to do, I realized that I'm a Hallmark fan, and I'm pretty safe watching the Hallmark Channel. And so the things that they've been doing is like they've been giving a countdown to Christmas, and they've been giving, you know, different kind of stories since Thanksgiving. And as we entered in on today, and today fortunately being December 1st and our Blog Talk Radio program is starting on tonight, I decided that we should do a countdown of miracles until Christmas. And so we just want to delve into the Word of God and begin to look at some miracles that will increase your faith and get you to the next place and the next level that God would have you to be. So we're going to look at 25 miracles until Christmas. And what I'd also like to just do is ask that after today's broadcast, if you would join us on our Facebook page, as we will be giving every day, delving in the Word of God, some miracles that will increase your faith, that will ignite you to that next level and to the next place that God would have you to be. And, of course, we're going to open with a word of prayer. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now before your sight and before your presence, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, for this day, realizing that this is a day that you have made. We will rejoice. We will be glad in it. Father, we thank you for our early rising this morning, even until this present moment, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, that the steps of a good man are ordered by you, O God, and that you have ordered our steps to be here and now, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, O God, that we can trust in the Lord with all our heart and lead not to our own understanding in all our ways. Acknowledge you, and you will direct our path, O God. We pray that on tonight, as we open up your word, O God, as we begin to look at the miracles that you laid out for us, O Lord God, these miracles, God, not just being things that are written in the word, but that they are something to ignite us to get to our next level of faith in you, O Lord God. So we pray now, God, that you will open our eyes, that we will behold wonderful things out of your law, God, and out of your word, and then help us, oh God, to apply that given word to our everyday life. In Jesus' name we pray, and we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is. Now, I'm trying to multitask here, you all, so I wanted to play some music in the background. Okay, I think that's good. I'm hoping that you can hear it, but at the same time, of course, I don't want it to drown me out. And that's being a sign that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And we just want to begin again to look at the Word of God and begin to delve into the Word. Okay, so what I decided was, as I was getting the word from God as to what I needed to be teaching, of course, we're going to start in the book of Genesis as we begin to look at some of the miracles that God did. Again, we've got 25 miracles that we want to look at until Christmas. And then ending it, of course, with the miracle of the birth of Christ and the Virgin Mary. But on today, I wanted to look in the book of Genesis. And, of course, we're going to start in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. We want to look at the miraculous, the miracle that God did even when in creating the earth, and how that is going to look as we are the children of God, how it's going to reflect on us. Now, when we look at the word miracle, when we think about a miracle is an event that would cause direct attribute to a special act of our Almighty God. Miracles can reveal something about God's character, his power, his plans, or his purpose. They can also confirm that a person or even an angel is inspired by the internal role as a teacher, a prophet, a judge, a messenger, and so on. They are one of the primary proofs of God's existence. And so as I was just beginning to look and study a miracle, of course, we think about the creation and how the creation is known to us. Now, what I also found out in looking at the word miracles is that there are other terms in the Greek that talks about miracle. One word that it talks about, and I'm not going to do an injustice of trying to enunciate the Greek terms, but I am going to tell you the English version of the Greek term. And one word for miracle is sign. The sign, when we think about the word sign, is an evidence of a divine commission or an attestation of a divine message. And so a miracle can also be a sign. We hear the word miracle, signs, and wonders, and that's because it's taken from the group and from the Greek word, and all of these words point back to miracle, signs, and wonders. Then another Greek word spelled T-E-R-A-T-A, which means wonder, and it's a wonder-causing event producing astonishment to the beholder. We think about things like happening with the Red Sea when it split up, but open, it parted for the children of Israel to walk across on dry land, and it closed up, come on somebody, when the Egyptians tried to pursue after them. And then the other word is dunamis, which is D-U-N-A-M-E-I-S, which means mighty works. It's the works of superhuman power, and that took me back to Samson and Delilah, and how Samson had this extra strength that God had given him, a mighty work, a mighty ability, a mighty power. And we too, today's Christians, we have power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Come on, Acts 1 and 8. We have power as well. And then the last word being Egra, which is E-R-G-A, and it means the works of him who is wonderful in working. And that's coming from John 5, verses 20 and 36. So when we think about miracles, the purpose of miracles are to seal a divine mission. You know, we don't walk around just trying to do miracles or call upon miracles to happen just in our own flesh or what have you. But they're sent to validate a call on our life. They're sent to do some things so that God can be validated in what we're doing. And so there's a purpose for miracles. There's a purpose and a reason why God wanted it. He wanted people to understand who his messengers was. When we look at Elijah and Elisha and their faith in God and the miracles and things that they were able to perform through the miraculous power of God, through the dunamis power of God. And so we say that God is a God who has not changed, that he's the same today as he was on yesterday, and tomorrow he won't even change. And yet there are not the signs and miracles and wonders of the Old Testament being implemented in today's. And he is a God that cannot change. Now, I've heard many of theologians talk about this thing and say that, you know, there's no need, that Jesus was the last one, and that certain things we don't need. But God being God, and if he does not change, he just needs a conduit in order for his miracle working power to work through. And I believe that the condiment that he needs, the conduit that he needs to work his miracles, are you and I. Amen. And that if we could just begin to stretch our faith to a higher level, that God can begin to do the exceedingly, the abundantly, and the above all. So when we begin to look at it and look a little more closely at in the book of Genesis, talking about the miracles of God and how the Bible says, if you want to pour your Bible out and just kind of follow along with us, we won't go verse by verse, but we're just going to begin to just talk about it, and then you can meditate on it at your leisure a little time later on. Just begin to meditate on the word of God in the book of Genesis and begin to look at how God created. The word Genesis itself means the beginning, talking about the beginning. And so as we begin to look at it, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form. And so as we begin to look at that and the fact that God spoke Everything that he did, God spoke it into existence. Amen. As we begin to look at Genesis, how God created the heavens and the earth, how God began to get. Now, when I begin to meditate that, and Holy Spirit, please give order to this now in the name of Jesus. Okay, as I begin to look at that and begin to contemplate it and think about it in depth on today, meditating on the Word of God, I begin to understand that God is a God of order and how he began to strategically form some things. He set it up strategically. And keep in mind that everything that God was doing was in preparation for man to come and dominate, to come and subdue the earth. He was preparing, if you will, a backdrop for man to be able to come in and do some things. And he did it in such a strategic way that everything that he did, the order even that he did it in, that God did it in, it's miraculous. It's a miracle. And I know that, you know, scientifically they try to tell us how man was created and that we came from Adam or from a matter and we evolved and things of that nature. But we believe the Word of God, and the Word of God, of course, is divinely inspired. It's a divinely inspired Word of God. And so the Bible tells us that the natural man can't even receive it, but that the Word of God is something that's spiritually discerned. You know, there are people who can take the Bible and begin to try and read it as though it's a book and not really get the understanding that they need, because it is spiritually discerned. It takes the Holy Spirit to begin to make the pages, the wordings that are on the pages, to come alive in us, the Word of God. And so as we begin to look at it, how God stepped into nothing and how God began to speak, and he brought the universe and every living thing in the universe in existence. And how he did it, if you would just begin to go back, he began to parch the waters. Come on, somebody. He begins to tell the land to step up from the waters. He began to tell the heavens to separate and that the light should have a stronger light and a lesser light, and then the stars came into being. He painted everything. He prepared everything so strategically for man. I just download from the Holy Spirit talking about how those of us who have had children, and how in your pregnancy, as the child was growing inside you, there comes a time where you have a baby shower. There comes a time where you prepare the room so that when the baby is born, you meticulously pick out different things for the baby, the outfit that the baby is going to wear home. You begin to paint the room in a certain color depending on what you feel like the baby is going to be. Now you can, of course, find out the sex of the baby before it's born. But remember back in the day when we didn't know, we'd pick out a neutral color that would just receive the baby in. And everything that we did in the natural, hallelujah, to receive that baby, we did it with the love and with the care and with the concern. And so does God. So God does. He stepped out into nothing. Now, I don't want you to begin to think that as God was going along, then he decided at some point, let us make man. God had already knew that he was going to make man, and that's how he meticulously began to create the world to receive this last, to receive man as he began to make man and he began to make woman. And so the Bible, even in our natural state, how we can prepare, God began to step out into nothing and began to call into existence and began to prepare. Hallelujah. Begin to prepare the earth to receive. And remember how the Bible says that he called the dry land, he called it earth, and then the lands in the heavens or the atmosphere, he called that the heavenlies. And so he, even in his planning, he prepared heaven and he prepared earth for man. Amen, amen. Remember, in the Word of God said that we're now seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And so the earth. He spoke the earth into existence. And as I began to think about how God spoke the earth into existence and how the Bible tells us that we can speak those things that be not as though they were. Well, I remember, and the Bible tells us that blessings and cursings come out of our mouth. I remember how in the Bible that it says that, you know, those things that we say shall come to pass. So God created the heavens and the earth, and then he gave us the ability to be able to create some things in and of ourselves. We really need to begin to grasp and begin to understand who we are in God and whose we are in God and the capability that resonates on the inside of us. I believe that the problem in society today is that we have trying to have blessings and cursings coming out of our mouth. And anybody that takes accounting, or anybody who's done any accounting, you know, if you take a negative and you take a positive, they cancel each other out and you end up with nothing. And so we've got to begin how to cover our words. We've got to begin how to not say blessings and cursings out of the same mouth. We've got to begin to get to a point that when we speak a thing, hello, somebody, when we speak a thing, it shall come to pass. We've got to begin to know that, and then we won't begin to speak or have cursings and derogatory remarks and things of that nature coming out of our mouth, because the God, the miracle of the beginning, the miracle in the book of Genesis, that miracle is implemented in us now. Hallelujah. Of our words, if we would begin to do as the Bible says, to set a guard, to set a watch at our mouth, because we understand that our mouth holds power. Our mouth holds the ability to create. My God, to glory. And so we've got to begin to understand that as we look at the creation, as we look at what God did, as we see his miraculous powers, we see his heart, his love for mankind, so much so of how he created the heavens and the earth, and then how he stepped back after he created everything in Genesis, how he looked at it and said, that's good. Amen. I remember when my granddaughter, Kiara, was my daughter was pregnant with her, and she was getting ready to come home, and we found out that it was a girl, and how I would go shopping for her. Even before she was born, I would pick out little outfits. Oh, that's so pretty. Oh, that's gorgeous. And I didn't just pick out an outfit. I picked out the outfit. I picked out the socks. I picked out the barrettes. I picked out whatever was supposed to go in. I prepared everything. My God, to glory. I feel this thing. I prepared everything. Even before she got here, preparation was made to receive her. Oh, my God, to glory. Ah, and even before God made Adam, even before he created Eve, amen, 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 preparation was already made to receive them, because he loves us. Because he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He loved us so much that preparation was made in the book of Genesis. He spoke out of nothing, and he created. He called things into existence, and he prepared the way. He prepared the way. He prepared the way to receive man, to receive woman. And so as we begin to look at it and look at it a little closer, we understand, first and foremost, the power that lies in our tongue. We were created. God made man in his own image. He made man in his own likeness. He made man to be able to hold some things, to be able to do some things. And so when we understand the power that he gave to us, we understand that he has created us to do even as himself, and that is to create. Our faith begins with the belief that God did it. We believe the word of God. Again, it's the inspired word of God. We believe that in our heart of hearts. We believe it. And so as we look at it and we examine it, at this first miracle, that we want to look at on today, December the 1st. As we begin to look at it and understand what God is doing, we understand that he's setting up a place for us. Amen. Amen. Keep understanding that our pastor's trying to multitask today, and I got several things going. I'm shuffling papers and doing some things. And so, again, the miraculous power of God and how God, even in the Bible, how he created the heavens and the earth, and how the earth was without form and void. And as I begin to think about that, I need for you to begin to think about things in your own life that are void. Oh, my God. Think about things in your own life that needs to be called into existence. And where are you in your faith in God to believe that? Now, in Romans, the 4th chapter, the 17th verse, and this is a familiar passage of scripture. We hear this a segment of this scripture, a piece of this scripture a lot. It says, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our Father in the sight of God, in whom we believe, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not, things that be not as though they were. I just read the New International Version. Let me see if I can get the King James Version for you. Okay. The King James Version says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Again, a lot of controversy with theologians with reference to this scripture, but when we begin to look at the scripture, we hear people say, call those things that be not as though they were. And that's indicative of, go back to in the book of Genesis, when God spoke and called those things that be not as though they were. God didn't say, can there be light? No, he said, let there be light. And light came. Light came out of the darkness. Amen. And so we've got to begin to get to a place where our faith is so connected to God that we too can begin to speak things that be not as though they were. We can begin to quicken some things in the spirit realm, after we've, you know, you've prayed, you've ministered in the presence of God, and we can begin to understand some things and begin to know that the word of God is true, and that we can begin to call those things that be not as though they were. And so as I begin to look at the scripture on today and begin to think about some things, I begin to say, even within myself, or to speak unto you, what is it that you need to call into existence? What is it that you need to speak into existence? What is it that you need to create out of your own mouth for your own life? You know what I'm saying? What is it that you need to do? And I'm not just talking about materialistic things. I'm talking about to begin to speak the word of God over your life and call some things into existence with that. We're in a season now, whether we realize it or not. Statistically, they say that the holiday season is the highest time of depression, that there are a lot of people who go through a lot of depression, suicide attempts, and things of that nature. And so as we begin to speak those things that be not in our life, if we found ourselves in a position where we're getting down, we can't buy what we wanted to buy for our children because, you know, Christmas, unfortunately, has become so commercial, that we can begin to call and speak joy over our life. We can begin to tell sadness to roll back, the darkness that comes with sadness to roll back, and we can call forth the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, to begin to bring life. Hallelujah, Jesus. I know I'm speaking to somebody. Hallelujah. And so as you begin to look at that, God, as you begin to look at that and begin to speak some things in your life, if you're going through a depressed moment, if you're going through a season where it seems like you can't get the things that you need, if you're going through a season, my God, that is contrary to the word of God, I dare you to begin to speak life to yourself. Begin to speak and call it to existence that I am happy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. This is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad in it. I am glad in this day. If you you could just begin to speak that over your life and begin to watch the Spirit of God begin to come in and begin to separate the darkness from the light in your own life. Okay, so it says that for this reason, we have to begin to have faith. It says that this only happens through faith in order that we may live in the accordance of what God and the precepts that God would have us to live in. God desires, he said, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prosper. That's the word. That's the word of God. God wants us to prosper. And when we talk about prosperity, again, we're not just talking about money. Amen. We're talking about prosperity. We're talking about joy. We're talking about unity. We're talking about, you know, living a cohesive life with those who are around you. That's prosperity as well. Getting along with your brothers and your sisters. Amen. And so as we begin to look at the areas of our life where we're not seeing prosperity, where we're living in a deficit, come on, somebody. Ah, my God to glory. Begin to speak. Begin to call into existence those things that you would have God to do. Hey, my God. And so we need to understand that he was talking about Abraham and how he had made him the father of many nations. And he was telling them some things that hope to believe, and that he should have hope to believe. I'm sorry. And so as we begin to have hope to believe that God can do the exceedingly, the abundantly, and the above all, and we begin to have hope to believe some things that be not, as we begin to have hope to believe. I remember, you know, growing up, we grew up in a house. There were nine of us in our family, and my mom's sister passed away and left four small children, and my mom decided that somebody needed to take those children in, and of course she decided that it should be her. Even though she had nine already, she took in four more children, and so we had a house filled with children. My mom didn't work. At that time we were getting, you know, public assistance, and I grew up sufficient. I grew up with such joy and not even realizing that we didn't have what everybody else had, because we had each other and we learned how to love each other. We grew up at a time where we were forbidden to fight each other. We couldn't fight. We would be in the room trying to fight quietly, so my mom wouldn't come in there, amen, and lay hands on us. That's how I'm going to say it. Lay hands on us, that kind of a way. So we would try to fight quietly because my mom taught us to love each other and to help each other and to always be there for each other. And so didn't even realize that we were poor. I knew we didn't have a lot of things, but we had each other. And the love that we had for each other superseded what we didn't have materialistically. Are you with me? And so at Christmas times, my mom bought two bikes. At that time, we had a girl's bike and we had a boy's bike. I don't even think they make them like that now. I haven't bought a bike in a while. But the girls, we took turns riding on the girl's bike, and the boys took turns riding on the boy's bike, and we were happy. Each of us didn't have a bike, but we were happy. We learned how to get along. We learned how to share. We learned how to love. We had prosperity, even though we, in the world's view, we were poor. Are you with me? My God, my God. I put something on my Facebook page that says, be content where you are until you get where you're going. Be content where you are right now until you get where you're going. And we have to learn how to be content where we are until God gets us to the place. And that's what we were as young people. That's what we were as a family. Even though we didn't have what others had, we had strength. We had unity. We had the bond of a family, amen, to love each other. Now we listen to the news and how mothers find it easily to kill their children, and fathers are killing their children. But back in the day, moms cared for, they kept their children. They didn't try to have abortions. And now, because we want to put our career first, okay, I'm going somewhere. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. we've got to begin to get in a place where we trust God. Amen. And so the miracle of creation, the miracle of creation, the miracle of God's creation, and then our knowing that we have the ability to create. Anybody that's ever gotten an email from me, they'll tell you that at the end of my email, I'll say, enjoy and create a blessed day, because you have the power and you have the ability to speak some things into existence. You don't have to say, it's Monday, so it's a horrible day. You can begin to tell Monday to fall into the line of God's word, and that the joy of the Lord will come forth. You can begin to speak some things into existence, because God has given you the ability to create. Remember, you were made in his image. Remember in Romans, we just read that he said that you can speak those things that be not as though they were. You have the ability out of your mouth. Life and death lies in the power of the tongue. You have the ability to create. You have the ability to create. And so what is it? What is it of the canvas of life, a blank canvas? What is it that you're going to create for yourself? What is it that you're going to create? And so as we begin to look at that, I just want us to be mindful that that's what God would have us to do, to believe on him, to know that we have the power in our own tongues, to know that, and then to step out on that and to live it so that God can begin to be satisfied, so that we can make his joy, he can make our joy full. Amen. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. God, again, gives us the power to create. He gives us the power to confound wise people with our faith, to confound wise people with what we speak and what we call into existence. Amen. I remember saying that I'll never lose anything again, because, you know, I'm always losing something. I'm always losing something. I'm always forgetting something. And the more you say that, you're actually coming into covenant with the enemy. You're coming into covenant with the enemy, and we need to come into covenant with what God has said. God says, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. And so you have to begin to speak over your mind and say, for me, you know, getting my numbers increasing in age. My numbers increasing in age. But yet the Bible says that I will mount up on wings as eagles. I'll run and not be weary, walk and not faint. That my youth is renewed like the eagle. Amen. And so I have to begin to speak that over my life. As I see those numbers increasing, I have to begin to tell my body that, you know, my youth is renewed like the eagle. And so beginning to tell my mind, I remember things, and I'm able to remember things. I'm able to remember scriptures. I'm able to dialogue and repeat things. Amen. That my download into my mindset is good. Amen. But begin to speak those things over. Not saying, you know, I'm getting old and I can't remember like I used to. No. Don't do that. Begin to speak. Begin to create what you would have God to do. Amen. And so as we are looking at these things, as we begin to look at the evidence of divine commission, as we're looking at what God stepped out and did, and how he spoke in the word of God, how he created man and Adam and Eve, after he had finished speaking creation, after he had finished speaking life, as he had finished speaking vegetation, as he had finished speaking the animals, as he had finished speaking the insects, as he had finished speaking all of these things, that the bees and everything that was made for a divine purpose. It had a divine purpose to be able to receive man and woman into the earth. And after God had spoken all of this, that the Bible said that he scooped up some dust. Now, keep in mind, he scooped up the dust of the earth, that which he had already created. Are you with me? That which he had already created, the dust of the ground, he had already spoke that into existence. He had already stepped back and said that it was good. He scooped up that same same dirt, and he made man in his own image. Oh, my God, the glory. He made man in his own image, and then he breathed his breath, the breath of God. We carry the breath of God in us. He breathed the breath of God into man, and man became a living soul. Amen. And we're still in the book of Genesis. And so as we begin to look at that, and then out of man, he created woman. Yeah, amen. Out of man, he created woman. But I'm going back to the fact that he had prepared everything to receive them. Everything that they needed, God had already supplied it for. He had already made provision. And I need for us to understand that God is not slack concerning his promise, that he's already made provision for you and for I. Amen. If you go back to the promises of God, he was like, yes, this is for your children and your children's children. Amen. It's something that continues. It continues. The blessings, God continues. Yes, man failed. In the book of Genesis, man falls. Man gets cut off from God. Amen. But then God, even in his infinite wisdom in that, he prepared a son. He prepared a way to reconnect man back unto himself. Amen. He prepared the way, and that way being Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. My God, I feel like he loved us so much that he already made a plan. He already had a plan, even when we fail. Hallelujah. I'm talking to somebody. God already has your way out. You may feel like you failed. You may feel like I've done the most horrific thing imaginable. But I want you to know that even like Adam and Eve, God had already made a way for them to escape. God has already made a way. All he needs for you to do right now is to repent right where you are. He loves you. God still loves you. I don't care what you did. I don't care what people have said about you. I don't care if they've counted you out. I need for you to understand and know that God has already made a way for you to come back into right standing with him. So whatever you're doing right now, whatever your mindset is right now, I need for you to understand that God created a creation. God created a world, and he formed it. And his love for us, he loved us so much, he had already made a plan. He's already made a way for you to come back in right standing with him. So whoever you are and wherever you are right now, if you just could begin to repent of your sins, wherever you are and whoever you are right now, if you could just begin to ask God to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness and get you back to that place that you need to be in him, that through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God will accept you back. So I pray that you pray the prayer of repentance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray now for my brother, my sister, God, who may be on the other end of this Blog Talk Radio program, God, who feels like they're a failure, oh, Lord, God, who wanted to listen to a miracle of God, oh, God, and they felt like they themselves don't even deserve a miracle. But there's a miracle called reconciliation. That man set a plan, that God set a plan to reconcile man unto himself. So we pray now, God, as they repent of their sins. You said that if we confess our sins, you're just and faithful to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, Father, we thank you now for cleansing them of all unrighteousness. We thank you now, O Lord God, that you're drawing nigh unto them, O Lord God, and you're making your presence known in their life, God. I thank you so much, God, for your wonder-working power. Now, Father, I pray that they'll receive your forgiveness now and that they'll turn their life over to you wholeheartedly. They'll make you Lord, and they'll make you Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. It is so, and so it is. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, we pray that you would reconnect with a church home. If you don't have a church home, we pray that you will find one. We suggest that if you're in the Chicagoland area, we pray that you'll look on 103rd and Wood at Bethany Church and find out where Laborers for Christ Ministries is within that building and make a connection with them. If you are in the south suburbs and you need a church, we ask that you would join us, Truth Deliverance Ministry, 329 South Trail Road, where we have our Sunday school, if you will, at 11 o'clock, and our service starts at 12 noon. Amen. So join us. We just wanted to put that out there. I felt that heavy in my spirit. So again, we're talking about the creation. We're talking about the miracle of creation. We're talking about the miracles that happened even in the book of Genesis. And as I begin to go back and look at some of the things, I thought about Sarah and how she conceived and gave birth to Isaac at an old age. That's in Genesis, the 17th chapter. And even as I begin to look at that and think about that, here we had a woman who was past the years of childbearing, and yet she was able to have a child. And then she has this child, and her body miraculously, come on, her body miraculously enables her to not only have a child, but now she's able to breastfeed. Come on, somebody. The miracle. Hadn't even thought about that. She's able to breastfeed, bring this child up, you know, nurse it, and do everything that she needs to do to be a mother. Her body that was once dead, come on, dead to being able to bring forth a child, has now rejuvenated itself and ignited itself, and she brings forth a son, and she's able to do everything that's necessary, everything that it necessitates in order for her to be able to feed it, in order for her to be able to grow it up. Amen. The Bible doesn't say she got tired and she sat by the wayside and her son was, she was able to do everything. God gave her the net. Her strength was renewed. Hallelujah, like the eagle. The miracles of God. And then I even just thought about how God began to heal even through Rebecca's womb, and she conceived Esau and Jacob. All of these are in the book of Genesis. Genesis 19 chapter talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and how God destroyed it, how God miraculously rained down fire from heaven and destroyed an entire place and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, entire villages, because they had fell away from God. That in itself is also a miracle. And then how God begins to free those who loved them. He gave Lot a plan of escape. He gave even his wife a plan of escape. But she wanted to look back at things. She wanted to look back at some the old things, you know, and turned into a pillar of salt. Even after she had been told, they had been warned, do not look back. Go forward. Don't look back. But she turned back. And how many of us, you know, have put our hands, we've accepted God, and we found ourselves looking back at some old stuff, going back to some old ways. And God would have us to look forward. Amen. And so as we begin to look forward, another thing that I was looking at when we're talking about miracles, signs, and wonders, I thought about Hagar and what God did through Hagar and how Sarah, unfortunately, tried to get a side chick, come on somebody, for her husband in order for him to be able to bring forth the promise, not realizing that God was able to take that which was once dead, even in her own body, and bring forth a child. But because of her impatience, because of her impatience, she decided to help God. Let's not become impatient in what God is doing. Let's not become impatient in waiting on the miracle. Hello, I'm talking to somebody. Let's not become impatient waiting on the miracle of God. Don't become impatient waiting on the things, the prophecies that's been spoken over your life. Don't become impatient or try to help God in the natural realm, and then you'll negate what God is trying to do in you with the super miraculous power. Amen. And so let's not be like like Sarah and Hagar. And even in Hagar, after we look at Hagar and how she brings forth Ishmael and how she's beginning to try and run away, if you go back and the Bible talks about how God heard the cry of her son, and even in her hurt, God heard the cry of her son, because God's promises of even something that looked like it was born against God's will or out of God's will, how God begins to take it and he still begins to do something. He still begins to give unto Hagar and Ishmael the things that they need. And so perhaps you're like that. Perhaps you feel like your life was a mistake, that you was a mistake. You got it by mistake. I'm a child. I was born out of wedlock. And when I found out what the word bastard meant and realized that I was a bastard child because I was born out of wedlock, and how God can still begin to use that that was a mistake, or begin to use that which was unwanted. So however you got here, begin to understand that God can still take you and he can still create something that'll bless him. My God, to glory. Because we're still talking about the creation and what God did through the creation. So I want you to begin to understand, wherever you are, whomever you are, whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation, whatever you looking at right now, whatever's not right in your life, whatever it feels like, I don't care who left you, I don't care if you've been divorced, I don't care what your circumstances are, I want you to know that you can begin to create something good. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I'm reminded of the scripture. Hallelujah, Jesus. When God says, I know the plans that I have towards you. I know the plans that I have for you. And that they're plans of good and not of evil, to bring you to a perfected end. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he created it because he had a perfected end for man. Hallelujah. And even when man messed up, that perfected end still had to come to be. It still had to come to pass. So wherever you are, again, whatever your situation, your circumstance, know that God knows the plans that he thinks towards you, that they're plans of good and not of evil. So stop sitting in a situation, stop sitting on the roadside, stop sitting and letting life pass you by because you feel unworthy, because the enemy has told you you're unworthy, because some things in your past, some decisions that you made didn't fall in line with God's word. I need for you to repent wherever you are right now. Just repent. Begin to say, God, you know the plans that you think toward me. They were plans of good and not of evil. I did some things that weren't good. I've done some things that were evil. But I'm ready now to fall under submission to your will and to your way, that you can begin to bring that plan. Yeah, God, you can begin to bring that plan to full maturity in me. So whoever you are, won't you let God do it? Once you come into agreement with God's plan for your life and begin to let God create something phenomenal to those who are around you, once you begin to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding and all your ways, acknowledge God and let God direct your path, won't you do it today? Won't you understand that he loves you so much? He loved you so much that he sent his son. So the miracle that we wanted to talk about in the book of Genesis, we've talked about several things, but the most important thing, if you have to walk away with anything on today, the thing that I desire that you walk away with is that you walk away knowing that you have the ability and you have the power to create. That you have the ability and you have the power to walk away from a situation and a circumstance that may not have been in God's divine will. You have the ability to get back on course. I need for you to know that. I need for you to know that even though God prepared the heavens and the earth, that God prepared it for Adam and for Eve that even after they messed up, because he loved them so much, he set in motion a reroute. I want you to know that there's a reroute for you. I want you to know that there's a reroute for you to get you back to the place that God needs you. And so if you could just be encouraged on today to know that God created you to create. He created you to create. So I ask that on tomorrow, if you would join us on our Facebook page, we'll be talking about some more miracles. We're doing a 25 miracles to Christmas. 25 miracles to Christmas. And today we've shared the ones in the book of Genesis, the beginning, the book of the beginnings. So we've shared how God spoke things into existence and how he created some things. And so we would love for you to be able to go to our Facebook page and just give us some comments about the lesson on today and begin to ask questions or just comment, let somebody know, share this broadcast with somebody that'll be a blessing, somebody who you know needs an encouraging word, somebody that you know took a detour and they need to be rerouted back to where God would have them to be. If you could just share this with them, and dare to get to that next place and that next level of God. God created us to be a witness in the earth, so he wants to use us for his signs, for his miracles, and his wonders. And so, miraculously, as you begin to let God do what he needs to do in you, if you could come into agreement with God and walk in agreement with God for God to begin to do the exceedingly, the abundantly, and the above all, God can do it. Amen. He can do it. So I'd like to thank you so much for joining us. We're going to close out with prayer. I'm just kind of skimming through my notes to see if there was anything else that I needed to say or any thoughts that I needed to bring to you. So I'm just going to share a little bit of this song with you again. Amen, amen, amen. And so lastly, we just want to talk about it. Even upon, at the end of our sexual relational healing retreat, our apostle talked about how God is, in the beginning, and that what God has implemented and desires for us. God is, therefore I am. God is, therefore I am. And so as we just begin to look at it, we understand that God has a plan. God has a plan for you. And that plan, he needed somebody to get you here because he wanted to do some things with you. There are some things that you can do that I can't do. God made you specifically to get something in mind. Remember, he prepared some things to receive you. That God is a God of order. He's a God of order. And that he's a God of power, he's a God of holiness, and that those things, those attributes can be in you as well. They need to be cultivated in you through God's word, through the study of God's word. They need to be cultivated through camaraderie with other Christians and things of that nature. And so as you just begin to build up your most holy faith and do what it is that God has designed for you to do, again, we're going to close out in prayer. And again, we look forward to hearing from you on our Facebook page. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come now, O Lord God, and we thank you for your word, O God. We thank you for your word, O Lord God, in Genesis, that you, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we just thank you, O Lord God, for your creation. We thank you for the creative ability that you've placed inside of us, your seed, O Lord God. We thank you and we praise you for it now, O Lord God. We thank you, O God, that you are a God of order, O God, and that our footsteps have been ordered by you, O Lord God. So we pray now, God, that every step that we take, O Lord God, that it will fall in alignment to your divine will and way for our life, O Lord God. We trust you to order our steps, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, that because of you, because you are an all-powerful God, that you left on your word that, behold, I give you power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, God. So we thank you for your Holy Spirit, God. We thank you for your dunamis power, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, that you've given us the ability to create, even as you are a God who created as well, O God. We thank you, O Lord God, that we can speak those things that be not as though they were, O Lord God. We thank you, God, that life and death lies in the power of our tongue, God, and therefore we choose life, O Lord God, and that we'll no longer say what the world says about us, God, but that we'll begin to speak those things that your word says about us, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that when you made us, you made a marvelous work, O Lord God. So we thank you for your dunamis power, Lord God. We thank you, God, that we have the ability to tread on serpents, O Lord God. We thank you, God, that we can pull down strongholds, O Lord God. We thank you that nothing shall by any means harm us, O Lord God. We thank you for it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Despite what we see going on in our world and in our society, O Lord God, we thank you that a 1,000 shall fall at our right hand and 10,000 shall fall at our left hand. Plagues, O Lord God, but it shall not come nigh our dwelling, O Lord God. We thank you for it now in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God. We thank you, O God, that you are our shepherd and we shall not want, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, that you came, O Lord God, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God, we thank you on today, O Lord God. We thank you and we praise you, Abba Father, for who you are, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, that you are a God who has created us and you've given us the innate ability to hold, O Lord God, and to carry holiness in us, O Lord God. We thank you for it now. We thank you that we don't have to be transformed. We don't have to be conformed to this world, but that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind, O Lord God. We thank you that we have a renewed mind, oh God, and that our mind is the mind of Christ, oh God. We thank you, oh Lord God, that our thoughts are the thoughts of you, oh God, because you said, oh Lord God, hallelujah, that we have the mind of Christ, oh Lord God, and we can think like he thinks, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. So we thank you for our thoughts, oh Lord God. We thank you for visions and dreams, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. We thank you, oh Lord God, that there's not anything we can dream that's too big, oh Lord God, but that if we can begin to come into agreement with you and an agreement with your word, nothing is too hard, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, oh Lord God. We thank you for that now in the name of Jesus Christ, God. Now, God, we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, God. And we say he who has begun a good work in us will finish it till the day of redemption, oh Lord God. So we thank you for a finisher's anointing on us, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. We thank you, oh Lord God, for those who walked away from a dream, who walked away from a vision, who walked away from their purpose, oh Lord God. We thank you for a reroute from the Holy Spirit to now begin to go put their hands to the plow and they don't have to look behind them, oh God, because you've given them the ability to complete a thing, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we bless you on tonight, oh Lord God. We thank you, God, for who you are, and we thank you for who you are in us, oh Lord God. We praise you, and we praise you, and we love you on tonight, oh Lord God. And now unto him, my God, and now unto him who is able. Oh, he's so able. Jesus. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the coming of his glory with exceeding. Only wise God, our Savior, be power, dominion, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. We hope that this has been a blessing to you again. Follow us tomorrow on our Facebook page for Truth Deliverance Ministry as we'll begin to talk about a second miracle. And again, we're counting 25 miracles until Christmas. 25 miracles until Christmas. And I want you to know that you are God's miracle and begin to walk therein. Thank you for joining us for Nothing But the Truth with yours truly, Pastor Katie Pierce and Truth Deliverance Ministry. We look forward to hearing you from you all next week as we come back again at 7:30 Standard Time. Join us then. Thank you. Until then, may God's greatest and God's best be yours. Good night, everyone.